Thank you, worship leader. We are grateful that we could be here. So I will invite any of you, whatever question may be agitating your mind, it's not limited to your spiritual exploration. Sometimes it's emotional, it's personal. Whatever it is that you want Spirit to shed lights on, this is the time to do that. So I will ask each of you to surrender whatever it is that is making you anxious, whatever is bringing that confusion, knowing that the Spirit of God is ever available to each of us to transform and bring us into that place of peace, joy, divine wisdom, and divine prosperity.
I have a question. So I've read about how different times in the day can be beneficial for different types of prayers. For example, praying before 6 a.m. or praying in the evening. And I just wondered if there was any kind of a guidance about certain types of prayers. Are they better done early in the morning or late at night? Or does it not matter at all? Or like, what would be the benefit of praying early in the morning versus late at night? Just kind of how hours in the day and how that impacts prayer meditation.
The question, I hope all of us have heard that, is how does the different times of prayer meditation allows the prayers to manifest? It brings the easiness to our life and all of that. Well, first of all, the reason those things are suggested is so fundamental, with the assumption that each of us will go to bed at night and we're fully rested, and it's always a great thing if you are fully rested to come in the presence of God, because your body is no longer giving some kind of agitation that is taking away your attention from what you need to do. Now, depending on how your sleeping pattern ends up, if you had a nightmare or you could, that's another, you know. But ceteris paribus, everything being equal, a well-rested body is a well-rested mind. And then you are able to bring, you are more open to receive, and you are more open to concentrate and penetrate the universal presence of God. So that is the basic part of that. But then there is also a metaphysical dimension to it. Depending on what your focus is. But the binding law of the whole thing is that you know that God is fully present in all things at all times. So once you know that, you can sort of, you know, throw away the time you pray Because all it requires is your presence, your concentration. But there are certain prayers that are needed depending on your focus. There are prayers you are encouraged to do at midnight. Because naturally, everything is quiet. You don't see neighbors driving cars and people partying unless you live in a partying zone. Even the most of the animals, they've gone to sleep. So you are able to tap into that restful energy and bring things to make it happen. Now, if you truly are being challenged on a spiritual level, and you need to kick that challenge away, especially if it's of the dark energy, midnight prayers is actually recommended because during that time, the forcefulness, the metaphysical presence of certain energies are very active, and you can do a lot of great things with that. Especially if you are fasting too, because the encodement of your body has changed, so you are able to invite or connect to some deeper presence of God, that power. Now, if you are doing a prayer to wash away things or to bring abundance into your life, some prayers are encouraged to be done early in the morning, before the dawn of the day, because there are metaphysical reasons for that. The beginning of all things. And especially if they ask you to go to the ocean or go to the river to take a dip and whatever it is. Although if the ocean is very cold, good luck on that. So you find that saints and prophets of different spiritual paths are encouraged members of their community to pay attention to certain cyclical energy. And also, if we're using the 24-hour chart, different times of the day astrologically are connected to different angels, energy. So you are better off focusing on a particular time to be able to truly feel that presence, invite that angel. Doesn't mean they can't show up anytime. Just means that's the what has been assigned to them, or what are the those are the times that they prevail very much. But if you don't know any of that, the best thing is as long as there is clarity within you about your connection to God and the presence of God at all times, then it's okay. You can meditate anytime. We even encourage that part of the practice. You can meditate when it's so noisy, because then you develop that part where you can shut things down from the outside. You are so embedded on the inside. So, but for newcomers or for rookies, so they try to help, because the easier you make it for them to be able to connect, to feel that presence of God, the better they feel, and then the more. But then as they go on, they will find out that they really don't need any particular hour. So that also depends on the individuals. Like some people will go into the cemetery to meditate because they feel the quietness of the cemetery. They are not afraid that the dead people will beat them up or do something. They just want to get away from the noise. Because even if they go into the forest, maybe the lion is roaring, there's some, so the cemetery, they figure everything, because the people there, they are silent, so they go there. So, but other than the astrological, or if spirit tells you at a specific time, this is when we want you to invoke this mantra, then you better follow that. Because that means that's the best time for it to be most efficacious, most powerful for your prayers to be answered. Does that answer our questions?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that.
You have to speak up so that they.
Could you explain a bit more about belief, the difference between belief and knowing?
The question is, what is the difference between belief and knowing? For most of us, it's part of the human ways of life. We believe in something before we even know it, because maybe our culture, our environment encourages that. Our parents tells us it is so, but we don't know. As a baby, you don't know how to verify that. Like when they told me, don't stick a metal into the electric socket. Of course, my stubborn self, like, well, I did it, then I know exactly what they were talking about. It's a good thing I wasn't electrocuted. Belief normally goes before knowing. Because even Jesus encouraged that. That's why we hear doubting Thomas. Say, blessed are those who believe before him. Now there's a difference. When you know, you know. What you've experienced, others may not experience it. But because you know that, you trust in it because it is something you've experienced. Nobody can take that away. Unless you have inferiority complex, which was what I was going to talk about a sermon today, until the worship leader reminded me it's Sasan. So, inshallah, next Wednesday, that's what we're going to be talking about. Because when you know, every ounce of your being recognizes the truth. And no one can deny you that, not even the angels. Because there may be something that the beloved revealed to you that even the angels are not aware that you know. So if an angel is saying, oh, you know, and then you say, no, the Lord told me so. And the angel like, oh, okay. Even masters, we assume that is everything the masters know. No, not from my own experience now. It doesn't take away from that master. It just depends who is in charge. God is in charge. So, unless God revealed it to that master, the master won't know. I mean, they have that connection where if they ask, they can verify it. But it doesn't mean they automatically know because you know it. The example is the young. The young boy who saw Jesus Christ, who saw Christ. And all the monks were saying, oh, he just made it up, that children have wild imagination. But Paramahansa Yogananda knew because it was revealed to him. He could see it. He saw that same vision that, oh, yeah, he actually saw Jesus. That shut up the monks. Because the boy knew what he knew. He said, even though the others don't, the adults didn't know. Even Jesus acknowledged that when he asked the disciples who were with him, "Who do you think I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Messiah." What did Jesus respond? He said, "There is no way you could have known that. Only my Father in heaven revealed it to you." Because at that moment, they will feel the same vibration that revealed that truth to, you know. It doesn't mean Jesus knew how Peter was going to know. And Jesus may know. So when you know, it removes all obstacles, all different dimensions of distraction. Because now it is all your, it is a gift. It's that each of us have talents, and some of us don't recognize the talent until later. Or some of us know it, they didn't even know it's their gift, it's their talent. They just think everybody has this until they find out. No. Knowing is a direct connection to the source of existence. That is it, period. And there's nothing greater than knowing except love. That's why they say, you cannot love what you don't know. When you know, then you can love it. So when we claim we love God, well, you better know God before, because otherwise you are just believe. It's your belief. Yeah. That's why we pray, "Lord, reveal thyself. Let us know you. Remove the darkness of ignorance." Because when you know, that is it. You can easily, it's splendor, it's splendid. It's party time. Because nobody can now try to lead you astray. You know what you know. And that's why they say the all-knowing spirit, that's God. You can't hide. And nobody can claim that unless that spirit has been extended to that particular soul. The all-knowing God, all-knowing spirit. It doesn't matter where you bury yourself. He knows it. So belief comes before knowing. And then when you know, it strengthens your belief. Because it comes back to it. So when somebody says, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about," say, you don't even argue with them. Or you say, "I know what I'm talking about. What do you know?" You say, "Oh, you just believe." Say, no, I'm beyond belief. I know, that's why I'm even believing more. So our best prayer, the right prayer for us, "Lord, reveal thyself. Make yourself known to me." And then you can believe after you know. But if you are not there yet, well, believe what they tell you. If they tell you to wake up at 4 a.m. and meditate, trust that the person telling you knows what they are talking about. So believe and try it, and then you see for yourself, and then you will know it. Now, if AI tells you something, you can believe, but don't go all the way in, because AI can only work with the data they fed it. But if the divine spirit in you reveals it, your intuition reveals it, that's beyond AI. You run with that.
So knowing can be the truth. Or it is
true. The question is, knowing can be the truth, or is it truth? Knowing is the truth. It cannot only be the truth, it is the truth. Because then what's the purpose of knowing? It is the truth. Now, is it a stepping truth that leads to a deeper truth? Then, you know, then that continues. Because spirit might show us something now where we know it, that, yeah, this is what spirit shows. Because that's what we can handle for now. And then, based on that, they can lead us to a deeper truth. But there is nothing wrong in knowing. It's always good to know. Because then you can validate what the other person is saying. You can validate what your teacher has taught you. You can validate what you read in the scriptures or in the news. I'm sure that's why they call some fake news. And people believe, but then those who are in the know say, no, 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 no. They just made that up to throw people off. But those who know, then they tell them, you better not reveal that. Don't say it, or else there may be cataclysm in the culture. Things might blow up. So. But blessed are those who believe. Because in their belief, then they will know. The knowing will come. Remember Jesus, well, until I can feel the hole in your palm, that's Thomas, and the, on the side, that's when I will know. And then I believe that it is true. Come, stick your finger here. You see, I am the one. Say, Master, is that okay? Yeah. But Jesus didn't reject him just because of that. It's the same way. God doesn't reject us just because we don't know. We're making effort. We believe. Like, fake it till you make it. So it's better to make it than fake it. So. Are there more questions?
Greetings. I have a couple of questions, but I'll start with one. So, trying to figure out how to ask the question. I know there's several different ways that we can pray, but is there a specific method or way of praying? So, like, I've been listening to one of the Christian radios, and it had talked about like the five rules of five layers of prayer. So there is I forget what it's called. I want to say affirmation, but it's not affirmation. It might be appreciation. So you're honoring God. Oh God, you're the King of the universe. You are omnipresent, you know, that there. And then you go into Thanksgiving. And then is there a specific way, or is it just spirit and in truth in the way that I show up in praying? Because I have a repetitive prayer, but also I want to, I guess, expand that, or I don't know. You know, you listen to the preachers, and I mean, you always pray very eloquently. And so I know that there's not like a right or wrong way to pray, but is there a process or method of praying, if that makes sense?
Well, we've heard this question. Prayer or praying is personal. You can borrow from how other people do it, but if it doesn't work for you, you need to leave it alone, because you're just riding somebody else's horses. You know, when you say, okay, Lord, no one is like you, and all of them, you think the Lord doesn't know that no one is like him or her? You know, you are the beginning and the end of all things, and you are the this and the that, you know. Prayer is not about God. Prayer is to bring our mind to that place of quietness, that way we can actually feel the presence of God. And that's why, you know, they say you praise and all of that. If it allows you to come to that place where then you can be genuine, you have to be who you are. That's what all of that five steps or whatever they are saying. Otherwise, leave it alone. I actually, at one point, I was telling God, I said, Lord, since I started meditating deeply, I've lost something. Because the way I grew up and the way I was doing things, I just go into prayer. I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth when I'm one-on-one, there's nobody there. But my passion is into it. I feel that presence. But then they say, meditate. And You need to be quiet. I said, Lord, I've lost something. So am I going to, I need that back, because when I was doing that, oh, you can't touch me. And I'm not talking MC Hammer now. You can't touch me because that relationship I have with God, you know, I wasn't faking it. If something is hurting me, or I really need, I don't go through all those steps like, okay, Heavenly Father. No, no, no. I go directly and tell God exactly how I'm feeling. And the last time I checked, God hasn't kicked me out, you know. So it's a personal thing. And it's also, it's a momentary thing. It depends on where you are, what is going on. And I've seen the masters too, when you hear them or you've seen them in vision. Yeah, they don't follow, you know, this is the steps to pray, because it's so personal. You know, if there may be a moment where you feel like praising God, that's all that comes to you, you know, then you do it. You don't regulate it. Because I've tried, whenever I'm being moved to express myself with God, to connect to God, and I'm saying, okay, that can wait. Let me follow these steps. Guess what? I lose it. That momentum, that thing that presented itself is gone. So I've learned, you know, what you see is what you get. When that thing comes, I just let it roll. Yeah. But then when I'm even killed, then I can follow these steps and say, okay, all right. Yeah. Otherwise, can you imagine we're all standing and we're all praying the same way to God? I can just imagine God is saying, okay, each of you introduce yourself, because you sound alike. Of course, God knows who we are, but I mean, otherwise, we all will look alike. There'll be no shrubs or not. No, it's personal. So don't, you know, if somebody prays in a way that inspires you, you can use that, then it may lead you to your own unique place. Or it could be you are birds of the same feather. Oh, you say, oh, I like this. Sometimes I enjoy long prayer. Sometimes I just want it short. Sometimes my prayer is actually a conversation with God. Or an inquiry, or telling God, why are you letting this happen? It's still my prayer. I don't get it. Sometimes when I see what is happening in the world, my soul just, you know, I just let it rip. And I'm sure they say, oh, here he comes again, you know. So prayer is personal. So whatever comes to you at that moment, you need to accept it and run with it. Because that's where the power will connect to what you want. Does that answer your question?
No, it does.
You still have more?
I have another question. And you had touched on it as you say you were meditating more and the prayer changed, or your feelings, you know, things kind of changed. It wasn't as exciting anymore. And so, yeah, that's another question. Like, so I'll just say this month I've been more in, like, I've been very disciplined in my prayer meditation, right? And instead of getting more, I feel lighter, but how I was before when I was doing that, I was more excited and very joyful and just, you know, just bubbly. And now it's just like, you know, and I don't, I'm having a hard time with that because I'm like, okay, am I depressed? Like, what's going on with me? You know, I'm like, is this emotional? Was it an emotional relationship? Like, what is that? Or is that just part of the process? Because I'm also, you know, also dealing with some other, you know, I'm still healing from some deep hurt. And so just, like, will I have that excitement again?
You know, both passion and quietness are siblings. You can't continue to deal with one sibling and ignore the other. Eventually, you will come to your senses that you can't. There are moments in my own prayer meditation that the passion just comes forth. That's what it wants to be at that time. Because once I've asked Spirit about that, and I said, Because in Christianity, we are so used to talking, just pray, talking. When do we have time to listen to God? That's where meditation comes in. And there are moments you can't make me say one word. I just want to listen. I mean, even when they say in an affirmation, in a meditation, take one characteristics of God and say, oh, love or light and all of that. Just depend. If love is the one that wants to shine that day, yeah. Then what's the condition of love? If it's light, if it's power. So I've learned that basically for Christians, we pray out loud, we talk. Even I remember when they say silent prayers, you still hear people murmuring. No, they're still. To me, silent prayer means be silent, don't even make any. But that passion in prayer is also needed in meditation. It's just that one is talking, the other one is listening. Pay attention to your attention. You cannot do one without the other. They go hand in hand. It just depend on what is going on. And you will find out passion leads. Because there's so much you can just talk. At a point, you don't want to talk anymore. You've exhausted yourself. And then all you want to do is just stay in that silence. And then you can actually hear what that divine spirit is trying to tell you. Although it doesn't matter when God wants to show you something or tell you something, you can be screaming. They will penetrate it like a hot knife on a butter. You will still get the message. But they go in hand in hand. Time to express yourself and all of that, and time to just receive and then reflect on what you receive. Because if all we do is just talk, Lord, give me this, do that, we won't hear the answer. And we won't be able to be reflective. So I found out that meditation. We upscale. It moves you from the first step to a higher step. But at the same time, the first step that you started with is also needed in your meditation. Because if you are passionate about listening to God, about hearing, and about reflecting, it's all good. But at some times, until you recognize that and accept it, do whatever it is that will get you to God. To me, that is the scripture right there. That is the Bible. Do whatever it takes. You know your nature at that moment. You can improve your personality or your nature but do whatever it takes that has worked for you right there. Continue to use it until it's no longer, then they will scale it up. You can ask for it to scale it up. The example would be with Frabado, the man who did everything and said he couldn't, he knew there's more, but he got nobody to teach him. And then that's where Frabado came as his son and all of that and all of that. So.
I have a follow-on question. I think it was answered in what Spirit just said. What to do when you don't even know what to pray? So, for example, the children in the Gaza Strip, I don't even know what I can't say, there's no words. So was spirit saying in those cases just silence?
Well, I've encountered exactly what you just said. When it comes to that point, you have to give it back to the one who created it. Let us remember, none of this happens like happenstance. Spirit already know this will come. Even when we were doing the Bible study, didn't we read where they said the Gaza thing will be, and that's how many years ago? Maybe it's not being fulfilled. And there has to be a reason. But to me, my soul cannot rest when I see what is going on there. When you see children who are malnutritioned, who are, I remember in 1967 when the same thing happened in Nigeria when they had a civil war. And you read about these children with the extended stomach and all of that. They call it kwashiorkor. In other words, they are deprived of protein and all of that. Even now, when I see the Gaza people, I get so mad because I say, oh my God, that's what they did to my fellow Nigerians. The Nigerian government to his own people because they want to win the war. And they understand why certain tribe in Nigeria still holds certain tribe for doing that to them. But in my anger, then I let the anger go away because I don't know the whole truth. So I surrender it to God. Initially, I prayed, okay, do, but then it's like, Lord, it's happening just the same way with Ukraine. Or when you see what happened in Sudan, So then even when you look at what is happening in our own personal lives, when you are struggling against certain things, certain habits or whatever, you exhaust yourself praying and ask, please remove it, oh Lord, that way I can have peace of mind. Then you say, Lord, I surrender it to you. What else can I do? You have the power to make this happen. You could stop it if you want it to stop now. And because you allowed it, it's not that you created it, but you allowed it. Because look, humans, we are so destructive, even to our own personal selves. And God allows it. If God doesn't allow anything, it will never take place. Satan doesn't have that kind of power. I mean, we rate him higher than he should be rated. But because, so then what do we do? We just say, Lord, you see what is happening. Fix it. It may serve a purpose that I don't know. And unless you reveal it to me, I don't know. So what's the point of me agitating and going beside myself? That sometimes is restless in my sleep. I can't even eat well or look straight. So what it does is it makes us recognize the limitation of human power and reasoning. But it also makes us understand the unlimited presence of the divine spirit. Even in things that are evil, God is present. Because if God is not present, the whole world wouldn't be there. The destruction, the evilness would be total. So that's what I do. Because if you look at this has been happening since the beginning of humanity. We are killing ourselves and all of them. Tribalism, racism, prejudices, it's always been there. And only God can clean it up. And humans, we are so creative when it comes to bad stuff. That's when our creativity really, why can't we be creative and do great things where, I mean, people claim this land belongs to me or this, as if they were the one who founded the land. Territorial integrity of the United States, as if when God created that, God said, this is the United States. The land belongs to everybody. For humanity, then we do things to that benefits us against our other fellows. Because there's nothing wrong in being wealthy, because if that's what God has assigned for you. But then in not using what God has given you for greater beneficial prayer, that is on you. That is on us. And then, because we can't clean it up, it keeps happening, then we have to turn to God, Lord, please, don't keep allowing us to do stupid things that messes us up. Yeah, so you have to give it back, because the one who allowed it has solutions to it. He knows how to, you know, take care of it. The one who created it, no. But if you have that compassion, yeah, you can just close your eyes. But then you exhaust yourself before it's needed. So, yeah, you say some and then you surrender the rest.
Thank you.
Do we have any more questions? Well, we thank the Lord for allowing us to express our yearnings. May the one who created us in wholeness bless us, empower us, awaken us, and illuminate our mind that we will continue to follow the way of spirit, and that we will live well and do well. May it be so now and forevermore. In Christ's name. Amen.